Stand with me for just a brief moment. Amen. I just want you to just stand and look around and see what God is doing to us. Amen. Just want you to look at each other. You're here because you love God.
Yes.
Amen. You're here because you love God.
Amen.
You're here because God has taken control of your life.
Yes.
And you're here by the mere fact that God has allowed you an opportunity to walk in new life.
Yes.
And so I want you just to give God just a moment of praise and just thank God for what he's done for you. Sometimes we get just wrapped up in worship and the formality and going through the motions that we forget God's presence. And not only is he present, but he's expecting us to give him what he's worthy of. And that is all of our praise. We ought to thank God this morning that we can stand right where we are and be in his house to be able to give him some praise. You may be seated. I just want to lift you up. I wanted to just take a hawk moment. You know, he liked to make y'all stand and tell you, you know, you can't sit down yet. But at any rate, greater than that, I want to just encourage your hearts, church, to continue to trust God. Even when stuff doesn't make sense, continue to hold on to God when there's nothing else to hold on to. Continue to lift up the name of Jesus, because when you lift up the name of Jesus, I guarantee you he will bless your life. I want to just welcome again everyone who's here. I am just thankful to God to be here at this moment in time to be able to bring a word to you from him. I've diligently been looking through the word and found, I think, a word that God wants me to share with his people. We've been on a journey out of the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and following, where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me for a purpose, to go heal some folks, you know, to recover some folks and to take care of some folks and to proclaim the acceptable year of God, acceptable year of the Lord." And I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, let go and let the Spirit lead your life. Today's that day.
Yeah.
It's time for you to stop doing it on your own, or at least trying to do it on your own, and let the God of heaven have his way with you. If you weren't here last Lord's Day, you missed the treat. We got whipped up one side and whipped down the other and then back up the middle and then back down the side and then up the front and down the back and, amen, side to side. We just got all tore up last Lord's Day. But I think it was fitting. I think, as one brother put it, a little hellfire and brimstone came rolling through here on Sunday morning, on last Lord's Day. But it was a reminder, if you would, an attention getter to get us to see, are we truly letting the Spirit of God lead us in the direction that we should go? Paul talks at length in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that he came to know but only one thing, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. He, if you would, exemplified to the church at Corinth that in order for you to understand the will of God for your life, you got to be spiritual. You got to let the Spirit guide you, because if the Spirit isn't guiding you, you won't be able to comprehend the spiritual walk of life that God has ordained for your life. And so this morning, I want to get us to see that before you can even accept the Spirit, you got to accept what he's done for you. You got to start just accepting that God has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. You're not going to appreciate the Holy Spirit until you appreciate what he did before he gave you the Holy Spirit. Someone ought to say amen. I remember how I used to be. I remember what I used to look like. But because of the grace of God, I stand here today looking a little better than I used to look. Amen, Sister Harmon. Amen. That's all right. Don't nobody else have to amen. I'll amen that myself. Amen. Feeling a little bit better. I got more energy. Amen. I'm more alert. I'm more understanding of his will in my life. And I'm learning how to be stress-free. Simply because God is in control of my life. And I want to give you a word this morning, if you will, from the book of Lamentations chapter 3. We have been encouraged to learn this as a song. And I pray by all means that we'll continue to invest in these words as the song that we'll sing around here as part of our worship, because it's appreciative when you can understand what God's will is in your life and you can sing about it. You know, it's something about when you put words into a song that make you, it just makes you feel good. Deja knows that I Love to Praise Him is my song. And I don't know if you've been noticing, but I wait till he finishes on purpose and then I like to restart it again. And the reason why is because it means something to me. I'm learning to invest in these words of which really are heavenly words, words that are comprised up by believers who understand what God has done for them, what God is doing for them, and what God will do in the future for them. Do I got any of those believers here this morning? I want to hype you up. I want you to be on fire when you get out of here. I want you to be so lifted up that you just can't help yourself. You got to tell somebody about it. And not the fact that you came to worship at Hawthorne, but the fact that you came to worship God this morning. We got to be talking about the goodness of God, people. Amen. We got to start shouting hallelujah when you're in the supermarket. And not just because something's on sale. No, you got to learn to shout about how good God is in your life. The fact that he let you get to the store safely ought to be a hallelujah. The fact that you can walk through the store and get the items, not that you want, but the items that you need, it ought to be a hallelujah. When you're at the supermarket and the person cuts you off, you ought to shout hallelujah when you're in line, because you've been given an opportunity to bless them by being patient and long-suffering and understanding and compassionate and merciful, amen, simply because you know God has been merciful and just to you first of all. Is that all right? I just want to encourage you this morning here as we look at this text out of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. It's about 586 B.C., when the mourning prophet Jeremiah pens Lamentations from Jerusalem. It is evident that the prophet is mourning and full of grief due to the destruction of Jerusalem. For 40 years, Jeremiah preached, he prophesied, and he pleaded with the people of God. There was no comfort, however, in being proven so accurate. Had only the people of God listened, what unspeakable tragedy they would have been spared. Amidst all of the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah is so overcome with emotional distress. He's weighed down and he's bounded up, if you would. He prays, but he feels like he's not being heard. His teeth feel like they've been kicked in. His bones feel like they've been broken, and even his skin feels old. The prophet feels trapped and confused, hunted and haunted, bitter and bewildered, hopeless and humiliated. Is there anyone here this morning who feels or ever felt like Jeremiah? Have you ever felt the heaviness of life's storms? Have you ever been surrounded by total devastation? No good and well, a lot of what you're going through was due to your own shortcomings. Have you ever felt trapped inside your head, filled with such weight that you felt you deserved to be consumed and totally wiped out? I want you to know that Jeremiah understands your position this morning. But greater than that, I want you to know Jeremiah offers us a greater position outside the confines of such a heavy storm. It appears that in the midst of all the turmoil that the prophet Jeremiah was feeling, that there's a ray of hope called mercy and grace that bleeds through the obstacles, that bleeds through the struggle, that bleeds through the devastation, that bleeds through the storm itself. I believe that Jeremiah is saying, Lord, even though I see devastation all around me, even though I feel heaviness within me, even though I deserve to be consumed and totally wiped out, you are faithful and you are merciful. Church, aren't you glad God is faithful and merciful to us? Aren't you glad his mercies never come to an end and that they're new every morning? My Hawthorne family, I want to offer you three things this morning that come within the mercies of God. The first thing I want to offer you is God's steadfast love. Second thing I want to offer you is God's faithfulness. And then finally, God's enough. He's all that you need. Can I talk to you for just a moment? Let me entitle this topic, Mercy and Grace Rewrote My Life. Amen.
Yeah.
Mercy and grace rewrote my life. Guido, can I borrow you for just a moment? Y'all ever had a jacked up life? Say, Stan, I'm doing that right now. What you talking about? Okay, so you get my point. You ever done some stuff in your life that you know wasn't good, wasn't healthy? You know, you went down some roads, you traveled down some paths that you just know good and well you shouldn't have done, but it was pleasurable at the time when you started doing it. Amen. Sin is pleasurable. Just thought I'd throw that out there to you spiritual folk who walk righteous and up and holy every day. But you know, every now and then sin will show up and it'll invite you and you'll be like, okay. And you just roll with it. I'm so glad that even amidst my rebellion, even amidst my lackadaisiness of who God should be in my life, he's still merciful to me. He's still graceful. He still loves me. He's still faithful. He's still steadfast. Because I need something that's going to shine bright through the mess that I'm in. And I don't know how you are this morning. I don't know what's happened all week long, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say somebody had a hard week this past week. If you've been living in this world, you know for sure you've been having a hard day and a hard week every day and every week. Yeah. It's a challenge to live in this world and try to be spiritual when all the stuff in this world is carnal and it's designed to pull you away from the very thing that you're trying to stay with. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Sin is ever prevalent. It's designed to destroy you and pull you down. Guido, I ain't forgot about you, but I want you to take that notepad, Guido, and I want you to write down as many bad things that you can do in your life right now. I'm going to give you a few minutes while I talk. As believers, we have to start understanding that God has a plan for our life, and that if we're going to... That's too slow. Hurry up. And if we're going to really allow the Spirit of God to work inside of us, we got to understand what God did for us. God didn't just give you the Spirit before he prepared your body to put the Spirit in. I'll say that again. God did not just give you the Spirit before he did not prepare your body to put the Spirit in. The Spirit of God can't be in a body that's all jacked up, but it can be inside of a body that is nice and neat. Amen. It doesn't mean that you ain't going to get jacked up, but you are thankful to God that when you are jacked up, you can get a neat body all over again. Amen. Someone ought to shout a little hallelujah right along in there. That's why even Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3, he would say, your mercies are new every morning. I need mercy today, and I don't need last week's mercy. Amen. I need today's mercy. I can't use yesterday's mercy because yesterday's mercies was used on yesterday's things that I jacked up. Amen. I need some new mercy today. Amen. Well, you're pretty quick now. Okay. Now I want you to read off the bad things that you can do in your life real quickly. Read loud. Amen. All right, Guido, don't get scared because everybody in here probably got the same sins and same things you're getting ready to talk about.
Okay.
Amen. Read.
Anger.
Okay.
Lust.
Okay.
Selfishness.
Well, hold on. I think folks stuck on number two, but keep reading.
Okay. Greed.
Uh-huh.
Envy.
Uh-huh.
Jealousy.
Oh, 8-6 is good, too. I think some folks stuck there. Read.
Jealousy. Hatred.
Hey, you see how everybody got quiet? Didn't nobody say nothing about jealousy? They laughed on number two, but wasn't nobody laughing on number six, okay? We just going to hit jealous. That spirit just said, okay, stay there for a while, but go ahead and read.
Hatred.
Uh-huh.
Fear.
Uh-huh.
Laziness.
Can you imagine walking in a life that's full of all these things? How many of y'all been there? How many of y'all on that list? Oh, raise your hand high. You know how we do when we win some money or we win a prize. We've had some experience down there, right? Well, you know what Jeremiah says? He says, you know what? The steadfast of the Lord, amen. It what?
Never
ceases, never fails. His mercies what? Never come to an end. They're what? They're new when?
Every morning.
Every morning? They're new every morning? Okay, now I want you to write down, this is you doing all of this now. You just said that that's all the things you could do bad in your life. You agree with that?
Right.
Okay, let me get the mic. Now you write down as many good things that you can do in this life. Now I want you to write. Hurry up now. I can't have all day because, you know, I got to let them go. You know, folk get hungry and start leaving. At least that's what I heard last week, I'm just saying. But while I'm here, I want you to see something. Because Jeremiah is pulling, if you would, on the hope that he has in God. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, 40 years Jeremiah preached, and he positioned himself in such a way, God did, that he would have to write the book of Lamentations, 5 chapters that he uses, if you would, to weep. Y'all ever had a time where you sat down and did nothing but weep? How many of y'all got 5 chapters of weeping in your life? Come on, talk to me, church. How many of you have seen such devastation, have created such devastation? Maybe you've created so many pitfalls and downfalls for yourself that all you could do was cry about that stuff. All you could do was look and say, man, I'm all jacked up and I need some help up out of here. Yeah. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. Don't set barriers and boundaries and create a bondage for yourself. Yeah. The mercies of God are new every morning. Yeah. You ought to wake up smiling because you got one more chance. You ought to wake up happy because he's giving you breath to be happy. You shout and you sing simply because you've been given life and you've been given more abundantly. It seemed like it was easy for you to write all them bad things. Lord Jesus, Gito, you slowed down on the good stuff. Amen. But I want you to read this.
Okay.
What good things can Gito do in his life?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Kindness.
Well, you hesitated on that one. You all right?
Kindness.
Wait, go back to forgiveness. Any of y'all, you think we can be forgiven? Amen. Raise your hand if you think you can be forgiven. Amen. How many of y'all been forgiven?
Amen.
See, that kind of stuff make you shout. See, this changes the nature of everything when you start looking at what God has done for you. Yeah. That's why I want you to know mercy and grace rewrote your life, people. See, I got to put the illustration on the front end so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Because these are good things to want and to desire and to do. But it's a hard time trying to get there when you got the rest of the stuff in there with you.
Yeah.
Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Forgiveness, kindness. Keep reading. What else?
Patience.
Patience. Read.
Sorry. Being responsible.
Uh-huh. Read.
Humble.
Read.
Trusting God.
Read.
Prayer.
Uh-huh.
Reading the word.
Read.
Faith.
You got faith?
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all got faith?
Amen.
How many of y'all know it took folks to have faith for you to be where you are in your faith?
Yeah.
Amen. Keep reading. What else? What you got
Mercy.
On there? You just trying to get in my word this morning, aren't you? Mercy. Now, it's interesting to me because Jeremiah, again, he's penning and he's saying, you know what? I think about the hope I have in God. Now, chapter 1, you find, you know, in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, it's the provocation of God. He's talking like, man, God, we jacked up. I see what you've done to us. I see how you're destroying us. Chapter 2, he says, I sit around and look at the total devastation. And then while he's there, chapter 3, he continues it on. And then just in toward the middle of chapter 3, he shifts gears. He says, but there's one thing I remember and I take hope in. Somebody need some hope this morning?
Yeah.
Amen.
If ain't nothing else you got in your life, leave the rest of the stuff alone and know that Jesus is still around.
Yeah.
Jesus can still help you. Why don't you tell your neighbor, we're going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your other neighbor, we're going to be all right. And then most importantly, over your neighbor, because your neighbor, they may lie to you. Your neighbor may be looking and being like, no, you ain't finna be all right. I see what's, amen. See, I'm sure Jeremiah sensed that. I'm sure he saw some folk in Israel talking about, yeah, we in the boat that we in because we did what we did. We were disobedient. And sometimes we're like that. But tell yourself, say self.
Self.
We're going to be all right.
We're going to be all right.
And the way you're all right is when you remember, when you have the hope that is centered in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Amen. Not only are his mercies new, not only do I have the steadfast love of God, he's faithful to me. Amen.
Amen.
I would to God that we all could be nice to each other every day and be faithful in that, but it just ain't gonna happen. But I guarantee you God is faithful.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, you could even do all these good things, but again, Guido, this isn't your life. Are you listening to me? You can want the best for yourself. But it's not until you stop trying to write your life and let him lead your life. Are you with me? Are you listening, church? It's easy for you to write stuff out and to figure out stuff and try to say this is what's going to work and plan stuff ahead. But it's not going to work, church, until you let the Spirit of God do what it's intended to do. Thank you, my brother. You got to let God lead you. And you gotta dwell in the hope that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta understand that he wants the best for you.
Yeah.
Anybody in here love God?
Yeah.
Anybody in here know God loves you?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go to that first thought this morning. God's steadfast love. We deserve death, church, for our sins. We should be dead and gone. But God loved us anyhow.
Yeah.
Amen. I know it's supposed to be anyway, but I like anyhow. Because how he does it is amazing to me. I don't see why God would keep investing in a sinner that keeps on sinning.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that his heart is bent toward trying to be a saint. That's all right, y'all go on back to sleep. I was thinking this past week how God has brought me from where he's brought me from.
Yeah.
What he's been doing to stand.
Yeah.
How he's been orchestrating his life regardless of the variable Stan's been manipulating.
He's been in it so much so that I didn't even see him. Some folks say that if you want to hide something from someone, put it right in front of them. God ain't been hiding nothing. We heard that last Lord's Day. The mysteries of God have been revealed, but you got to have the Spirit in order to know it. Somebody ought to shout amen. When you know what God has done for you, when you know that mercy and grace has rewrote your life, then you begin to see what's really going on. I live every day, Deja, not for me, but for God. So I get up and go to work because God told me to do that. I get up and provide for my family because God told me to do that. When I get home and I'm tired and my son wants to play, I play with him. Why? Because God told me. He said, you do that. I've done all this for you. Surely you can wait up a little bit and play with the very blessing that I gave you. Is this making any sense to anybody? See, when you understand, even aside from your present life and begin to look at your past, you should have been dead and gone, Stan. That shotgun went off in your face. You're supposed to be dead, but you're not. Amen. You know what you start doing? You start shouting. Bet y'all didn't know that. Well, here we go. Let me tell you something, people. When you've gotten close and you know that your life should be gone, and you know it ain't but because of the grace of God that you're here right now, folk don't matter to you no more. People can talk all they want to. Amen. Well, who he think he is? I'm a child of the Most High God. Are you listening to me? I've been given a second chance. Well, you don't look like you're making it right. Well, he'll give me a third chance then, and a fourth chance. Just keep a living. You're going to fail just like I fail. You're going to sin just like I sin. We ain't nothing, let the truth be told. A bunch of sinners up in here saved by grace and mercy. Somebody ought to say amen. As believers, it's up to us to appreciate the hope that we have in God. Don't walk around with your head down. Walk with your head held high. Start smiling more. Start letting folk know you are a believer. Not by your words, but by the smile that's on your face. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you is that you love one another. As I have loved you, by this the world would know that you belong to me. How? By the love that you have for one another. And when you got some love, and you know how you've been loved, you smile. John 3:16, a woman famous quoted scripture in the Church of Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world. Let me take that into just the religious world. Everybody know John 3:16. They on bumper stickers, they on necks, they on skin, they on necklaces, they everywhere. He so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Look at the steadfast hope of the Lord. And he said, I didn't send my son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm just living life. I'm trying to get it right. Some of my days are good. Some of my days are bad, but my good days outweigh my... I wish I had a church. I'd preach a little bit. See, some of y'all are so stuck on religiosity that you have lost sight of Jesus. And when you know what Jesus has done for you, it ain't about religion. It's about the words of the Lord. And if God said, I'm going to be all right, then guess what? I'm going to be all right. He says, Matthew 11:28-30, these ain't in my notes, but I just feel the Spirit leading. I'm going to let him lead. Right. Matthew 11:28-30, he said, come unto me all who labor. Yes. And I heavy laden, and I do it. I give you rest. Y'all tired of carrying around your baggage? Take it off. Are you listening to me? When you're in the presence of the Lord ain't looking at you because you messed up, especially when you done fessed up. Amen. The reason sometimes you still got the baggage on is because you ain't been crying to Jesus. Look here, I'm the biggest crybaby you'll know when it comes to me and my relationship with the Lord. Amen. I may not cry around you, but when I'm in my closet with Jesus, I'm like a boo-hoo baby. Amen. And I don't mind crying because I want him to know I'm jacked up. I need help. I done messed it up. Amen. I need an attitude adjustment while I'm in here, Lord. Amen. I need some money in my pocket. Yes, all right, y'all go on back to sleep. He said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. But I want you to run Ephesians 2:4, and I want to deal just a little bit with God's steadfast love. Sometimes I think we forget it's because of him creating us the way that he's created us that he done took out some blank spots in our life. He done took out some stuff in our life that shouldn't be there and replaced it with some good stuff. Amen. How many of y'all in here like negative people? Raise your hand if you like to hang around negative people. Oh, come on. Somebody in here like negativity. Amen. Then why so much in the church? Well, anyway, but how many of y'all in here like negativity? Y'all don't like negative folks? How many of y'all in here like positive folks? How many of y'all like to be around people who are going somewhere? Here's my favorite. How many of y'all like being around people who got some money? Why? Because it creates a positive energy. It makes you feel like you're somebody. It gives you some self-worth. It makes you appreciate it because you're part of. You know, and they love you and you love them and just everything's all good. And then when folk come tripping on you and them, you know, you would gladly step in the way to kind of help and defend them. Why? Because y'all got some good stuff going on. But what about Jesus, people? Yeah. Do we not got a good thing going on?
Yeah.
Do we not have some hope that's centered in Jesus, that when the trials come, we can stand firm? Do we not have something that allows us to stand during the storms, even though the storms are raging and the winds are blowing and they're beating us down? Don't we get to stand there and smile and say, it's going to be all right? Amen. Some of y'all need to hang out there for just a moment, because you've been allowing the devastation. You've been allowing the sin, the stuff that you've done to pull you so far down that now you're not letting mercy and grace rewrite your life. Now you're writing your life. Just like a writer, sometimes when they're trying to push the issue of the subject that they're doing, they'll sit there and they'll write. Well, that ain't gonna work. They'll sit there and they'll write. That ain't gonna work. That ain't going, oh my goodness, amen. How many of y'all doing your life like that? Are you listening to me? I want to connect. Come close this morning. Put your hope in something that can help you. Amen. You can't help you. You can't do it on your own. Because if you could, you would. You wouldn't need to come to church on Sunday morning. Amen. You don't come here just because folk is looking at you. No, you come here because you need some help. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. You got that? Look at verse number 1. I got to rerun through 3, and I'm going to hit verse 4, and we're going to try to get up out of here. I got to let y'all go. Y'all feel all right?
Yeah.
Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Is this making any sense?
Yeah.
Any of y'all trying to go to heaven this morning?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure this is the right sermon and the right people and the right crowd to preach, because I go preach to someone who want to hear it. Amen. Y'all want to hear it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says what?
And you he made alive.
You he did what?
He made alive.
You can't be made alive unless you what? Amen. How many of y'all been dead before? Amen. That's like a whole 20 of y'all. I know there's more than 20 folk up in here. I'll try that again. How many of y'all been dead before? Thank you. I'm glad we got a better response that time. My point is this. Until you recognize where you were, you're not going to get to where God wants you to be. Until you recognize what God has done for you, you won't shine and let the Spirit lead you the way it's intended to lead you. My sister shouted this morning. And I amen with you. I said hallelujah with you. Because I understand. God's been good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all didn't say nothing? Don't have to respond. See, when you understand because someone else understands, it make you feel good. See, just the fact that she shouted, I'm good. They shout, hallelujah. Y'all was like, well, hallelujah. No. 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 There has to be a little bit more there, people. God's been good to you. You were dead, Paul said, in trespasses and sins. You just go to verse number 4 because time is getting away.
But God.
But wait, hold on. Don't read it yet, but that's good. Just hang out in verse 4. But you were dead in trespasses and sin. He said, but he's quickened you. He's made you alive. Amen. You were once headed for hell itself. Sin was so prevalent in your life that you couldn't even see you were dead. How many of y'all ever been down there? Couldn't even see that your life needed a makeover. A redo, because all of the sin just blinded you. While I'm here, this don't cost you nothing. Salt, we went out on Friday evening and had a salt in the sand at the beach. It was some good stuff. And, you know, I encouraged them and reminded them of the importance of knowing that some behaviors have become normalized. We have normalized so much of our behavior that we think is normal. That's why we keep acting the same way that we're acting. We never get better. We keep staying sick because we don't want what's outside of the norm. Something positive comes around, and because we've normalized the negative for so long, we're scared to move outside of what we've normalized. And sometimes we can do that to people. Are you listening to me? Sometimes people, you know, in their positions, you know, if we keep giving them money and giving them money and giving them money instead of trying to help them get their own money, we can enable them. We can position them for always coming up and asking for money. Amen. That don't cost you nothing. I heard them say once upon a time, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for what? A lifetime. Same way when it comes to the spiritual walk with the Lord. Let me tell you something, people. When people around you are behaving negatively, they're expecting the same response from you because it's normal. Are you listening to me? And when you give them the negative response they're looking for, you just have confirmed that they're normal. So therefore, you can't expect a different result from them seeing you've engaged with them, at least not from you. So now you have to walk differently. Are you listening to me? You got to create a platform that tells them, look here, things can be different if you want to. They may get it that day, but it may take them a while. So you know what you keep doing? You keep doing like Jeremiah. You walk in the steadfast love of the Lord. God been working with me. He's still working with me. He gonna work with me. So I'm gonna work with you. I'm still gonna work with you. I'm gonna keep on working with you. Say amen when you can. I'm tired of folk giving up on me. But I'm so glad God don't give up on me. He's the only reason I keep throwing sermons out here like this, because there's some sermons I want to give God's people, but you know, that love get a hold of me and be like, just wait, hold up. Let me remind you, Stan, how you used to be. Then I'd be like, well, you know, all right, God, you know, yeah. I preached the other one. But what I'm saying, church, is this, merely this. We've been loved by God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, verse 4 says what?
But God.
But what?
But God.
Take these two words with you if you don't get nothing else out of this sermon. But God. Yeah. When folks start throwing stuff in your way, when stuff and all hell starts breaking loose in your life, just stay out. But God. Just state it and stand back and watch him. Because God loves when you know he'll show up. He knows when you're confident, and when he knows you're confident in him, he will do things you never dreamed he could do. Matter of fact, he will give you insight and foresight. He'll give you direction and options, and so much so that as the believer, you just feel overwhelmed, now not with devastation, but with goodness. Oh, y'all going back to sleep. That's why David said, even though I walk through the valleys and shadows of death, I don't fear no evil. Why? You right there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You present a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup. It brims. It's just beaming. I just can't help myself. I know I'm going through it, but child, God is good. I know all hell is breaking loose, but praise Jehovah. Because I know eventually after all the hell done broke loose, heaven's finna break through. Somewhere down the line, there's got to be some hope that's in Jesus. Some assurance that says, but God.
Who is was rich in mercy.
In mercy. And what?
Because of his great love.
Because of what?
His great love.
I tell you, God has some love for you, church. How many of y'all feel love this morning? I'm almost through. Just hang in there with me. If you got any love for God because of he's loved you, then love each other. I think that's what Jesus meant when he told his disciples, there's only two commands I give you. They're new. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love each other as you love yourself. Why? Because if you do that, you'll have hope. You'll get through stuff. Things will be all right. You can build what I want you to build. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Second idea, not only is it God's steadfast love, but God's faithfulness. Valleys are but for a moment, church. Trials and tribulations, destruction, the stuff you're experiencing that is negative is but for a moment. And sometimes they are self-induced. But trials last for a short time. But God is forever. His faithfulness is consistent. Get for me Micah chapter 7 and verse number 18. I'll be there in just a moment. If you would, Don, get for me the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And I want to read these few and I'll quit. I remember what David said in Psalms 35, church, about God's faithfulness. It's amazing that David, again, he sees God as a picture and a ray of hope. Because he says, your anger is but for a moment, God. Your favor for a lifetime. Weeping endures for a night, but joy, something to hope for. I think Jeremiah understood that after all the devastation, God was still able to raise them up. So much so that he spends the last chapter in Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 5, and it's a prayer. He pleads with God. He prays to God. He talks to God. And guess what God does? He hears. He gets to work. How do you know? Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel comes along. Bible said God caused Ezekiel, and chapter 37 is the bones, but chapter 36 is important. So is chapter 35. The Babylonians thought that they had literally destroyed Israel. They just knew they rode up on God and his people, and that was it. And God said, you know what? I see you, Babylon. I see what's going on with you. You think you got me, but God steps in. And what does he do? He says, you know what? Prophesy to the land. Y'all quiet, go on back to sleep. Prophesy to the land of Israel and tell it to start producing good fruit. Tell it to start growing the way that I had intended for it to grow before. What are you doing, God? I'm getting the land prepared. Why? Chapter 37. Now go into the valley of the dry bones and prophesy to those bones and tell them, oh, bones, hear the words of the Lord. And the Bible said when he did that, there came a rattling. Amen. We expect sometimes in our lives for it to be a rattling, but it ain't even rattling. It's just a little bit of a bump going on. And simply because if you have no hope, stuff can't come together. Sometimes all you see is the stuff. And when you see the stuff, your mind hangs out there. And when your mind hangs out there, ain't no hope. Hope's trying to get in. It's knocking on your door. It's saying, hey, Aslan. Sisters come by. They smiling at you, bringing you cakes and pies. And it's like, thank you. Well, come on, man. Are you listening to me? You've become so embittered that you can't appreciate nothing sweet. What are you saying, preacher? Ezekiel goes in and he says, prophesy to the bones, and he prophesied. And the Bible said there became a rattling. Yes. And the bones started coming together. I'm telling you, church, God's faithful. Yes. Amen. Even when you've messed it all up, when he recognizes that you recognize where you're at, he'll start changing some things for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, round about verse number 12, the Bible says what? Therefore, to him,
therefore, let him who thinks he stands,
what?
Take heed lest he fall.
Look here, you can fall. I want to drop this in while I'm here because we always want feel-good sermons. But sometimes we got to be reminded of what state we're in. Look here, you can't have no hope in Jesus and live like the devil. Are you listening? That was cold. I know. But let me tell you something. If you're going to make a change, make a change. If you're going to do better, do better. And start behaving better. Amen. If you're a child of God, stop talking negatively. Are you listening to me? I hear a lot of stuff go on. It's interesting in the church how much we claim we children of the Most High God. Ooh, did you see so-and-so? Come on, man. Yeah, did you see so-and-so? She's stepping to heaven and you stuck. Amen. Wasn't that Paul said only give the words that are useful for edification? We ought to be building one another up. Okay, I failed last week. Well, Don, don't talk about me. Amen. Won't you encourage me? Won't you remind me you've been in the same state I've been in? How many of y'all in here sinned last week? Amen. What was your sin? You ain't got to tell me. Amen. But we've sinned, have we not? What makes us any different than the next person who just raised their hand and said they sinned? Nothing. And so if we're all on the road together, then be wise in your thinking. Amen, because just the moment you think you're better than, Paul said you're going to fall. Your sin ain't no different than mine. So I shot at somebody. You lied. Same thing. Amen. Y'all quiet. No, that ain't the same thing, Stan. No, yes, it is. John chapter 3, verse 4, sin is a transgression of God's law. If it's sin, it's sin. Now, the act carries with it a different consequence. It's going to be a different type of punishment. But it's still sin. You jacked up, I'm jacked up. You a liar, I'm a shooter. I mean, come on. I mean, at some point, we just ought to look and say we jacked up. So now we ought to flip it. Okay, you lied, I shot. Okay, no problem. I'm going to stop shooting. You're going to stop lying. Matter of fact, your lie is going to turn into truth. You ever been good at lying? Yeah. Where my ex-lies in the house? Some of y'all still lying. God bless you. What are you saying, Stan? Now your lying should be as good, or your truth-telling should be as good as your lying was. Now you ought to be real good at telling the truth. Someone said, is that why you preach like you do? Yeah. Don't tell everybody that. Anyway, but even your shooting, you ought to have a different type of energy now. Instead of let's go get them, let's go get them folks. Are you listening to me? Let's go shoot some love out their way. Let's shoot them with some compassion. Let's shoot out some mercy. I wish I had a church. I'd preach this morning. See, I'm talking about people who understand that mercy and grace has rewrote your life, people. And God's faithful to you. You got Micah 7. I got to close. I'm going to shut it down. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay, Micah chapter 7. The Bible says what?
Verse 8. Do not rejoice.
Go down to 18. Yeah, no problem. There's some good stuff in there. I want the church to
who
see this.
Who is a God like you?
Who is what?
Who is a God like you?
Anybody know a God like God?
Yeah.
Amen. How many of y'all know God?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to work with you five. Amen. Who is a God like you?
Read. Pardoning iniquity.
He does what?
Pardoning iniquity.
Man, see, that kind of stuff make me shout. We can stay there, but keep reading because I can't
and
stick
passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage.
Read.
He does not retain his anger forever.
Read.
Because he delights in mercy.
God don't stay mad long. You know why? His heart is filled with mercy. God ain't gonna hold stuff over you forever. Just until you recognize you jacked it up.
Yeah.
How you know? Look at the next verse. Read.
He will again have compassion on us.
Read.
And will subdue our iniquities.
Read.
You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea.
I got to quit. I got to quit. But off the coast of Indonesia, about 3 miles, there's a radius of so much space in the water. And it's deep and dark. So deep and dark, divers have discovered light does not exist. Are you listening to me? They attempt to try to explore, but it's impossible for them to explore. I just want to kind of help y'all make a little comparison. When God throws your stuff into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more, he ain't tripping, so why you tripping? He's faithful to you. He don't come back and say, well, Stan, you can't have today's mercy because of yesterday's mess. Ah. You can't have goodness today. I can't be faithful to you because of what you did last week. God don't do you like that. When you come to God and you understand that you jacked it all up, he says, okay, I'll remember it no more. Matter of fact, I ain't bringing it up. Why are you bringing it up? Matter of fact, what is that? What are you talking about? I don't recollect you doing that. Oh, y'all go on back to sleep. I'm glad God be overlooking at some of the stupid stuff I did. I'm glad he's still looking over some of the stuff that I do. Any of y'all did something last week where you want God just to be like, all right? Yeah. How many of y'all want God to look over some stuff? I guarantee you he's faithful. But you got to be faithful to him. And third and finally, I got to quit. But Don, give me Exodus chapter 3. Y'all all right still? Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And we'll close with this. The third idea, after you understand God's faithfulness, you got to understand God's enough. You got to understand God's all you need.
Amen.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then Jeremiah says, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Exodus chapter 3. Before you begin to read, I want you at verse 13, if you will. It's amazing to me, this story about Israel. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. Under the hand of Pharaoh. They've been crying loud and they really have been needing to be delivered. And finally, Moses, after being kicked out of the palace and having spent 40 years on the other side of the mountain, he comes back 40 years later and there's a fire in a bush up in the mountain. So he goes up to see what it is. And naturally, he encounters God. And God tells him, take your shoes off your feet, for the place that you stand on is holy ground. And then Moses said, well, who are you? And God proclaims, I'm God. And so with that, Moses connects and he sees that he's in the presence of God. And God explains, Moses, I've heard the oppression that, you know, Egypt is inflicting on my people. I've heard their cries. I've seen what's going on. And I'm going to send you, Moses, to go down there and deliver them. I'm talking about a ray of hope. I want you to know God sees what you go through. He hears your cry. He knows what's going on. The question is, are you ready for him to deliver you? And Moses comes on the scene, Exodus 3:13, with this. And look at some more of the conversation. The Bible says what?
Then Moses said to God.
Moses said to God.
Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel.
God, now hold on. And I just want to kind of create a little mind here. Now, God, you're going to send me down there. And when I get there, the people are going to ask, who sent me? Read, the Bible says what?
The God of your fathers has sent me to you.
Read.
And they say to me, what is his name?
What is his name?
What shall I say to them?
What am I supposed to tell them, the God? Now, mind you, this is supposed to be the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Did they really know the God? That they would ask questions, who sent? And even Moses, I think Moses is more in tune with knowing. It's not about that Moses didn't know, because God just revealed, I am the God of your fathers. But Moses, I think, is trying to say, God, are you with me? I want to know when I get down there and I start talking, you're going to do the talking for me. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Because it's interesting that Moses would ask for a spokesman, but then get down there and not need one. Y'all going back to sleep. Sometimes you can need something from God. But when you just trust him to be God, now you don't need it no more. Because you find that you had what you needed inside of you all along. It just took you believing that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. Some of y'all are expecting God to do something right now. And the reason it ain't been done is because you don't believe he going to do it. And since you don't believe he ain't going to do it, he ain't finna do it. It ain't going to get done until you believe he can do it. Somebody ought to shout right along in there. I know there's some storms that you're going through. I know there's some things in life you're trying to accomplish. And when you trust God and accept him at his word and do what he asks of you, stuff starts happening for you. Here lately, my wife and I and our family, we've been blessed. Doors have been flying open. I know why they're flying open. It took us to believe that God could do what he said he was going to do. Say amen. You ever just been waiting on a call for a job? Waiting and waiting, and they still ain't called you. Amen. And you just keep waiting, and still they ain't called you. And now you're getting impatient and you're trying to call them. No. You wait for God and let him do what he said he gonna do. But that's not my sermon. That just was some good preaching in there. Amen. But look at what happens next. Read.
And God said to Moses, I am who I am.
I what?
I am who I am.
Read.
And he said,
okay.
Thus you shall say to the children of Israel.
Read.
I am has sent me to you.
Stop. Sometimes what I'm saying is we need to be like Moses. Yeah. And we need to have an I am God. We need to have an I am moment. Where we step out the way and let him do what he's been intended to do. God don't work if you don't let him. You got to let him work if it's going to work. Oh, come on, y'all. That's why Jesus would come on the scene and say, I am the bread of life. Amen. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the resurrection. Sometimes you just got to get into up on your situation and be like, look, here's situation. I am sent me.
Yeah.
Amen. Stop letting your situations and circumstances beat on you. No, you got a God. And he ain't no chump God. He's the God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Rose of Sharon. Sometimes you just got to shout and say, God, you are who you say you are. Amen. And if for no one else, to get you to believe it. Sometimes I got to walk around when stuff go down. I am God. He is God. He's God. It's going to be all right. Yeah, God, you got it. I know God. I get it, God. I'm with you, God. I'm struggling, God. Amen. So that testimony of what you know about him helps your unbelief. Helps that part of you that's lacking. See, sometimes we get caught up, so caught up that we forget who's in control. What happened to Moses? He gets down there. Ain't no more business meetings. He needs with God. One time. When he gets down there, he's telling Pharaoh, look here, let my people go. Now notice this, it switches from God saying, I'm going to deliver my people, and now it's personal. Moses said, let my people go. Y'all go on back to sleep. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time, but let me tell you something. When you believe in and you invest in what you believe in, things will change for you. Some of y'all will leave out of here shouting because you understand and you believe in what we're talking about this morning. And it's up to you to continue to create and generate that hope that's inside of you. So at the end, when it's all said and done, you can have that I am God and know that everything's going to be all right. I'm through preaching, church. Are you here this morning? Are you here? Are you here and not a member of the body of Christ? Come by faith. Repentance, accepting to be the Savior. We're baptized in water for the remission of sins. You can leave out of here today with some hope in your life. I know what the world been doing to you. They've been jacking you up. The devil right now, he in your mind. He don't want you to hear what I'm talking about. Amen. He wants you to nod off. He wants you to think about something else. He wants you to think about lunch later on. Amen. It is about that time. Amen. He wants you to think about everything else except for who he is. But I want to encourage you, move past that today. Start trusting God at his word. Accept him to be your Savior, because I guarantee you, you can't do it, but God can. John 15, that's why he said, if you abide in me and I in you, you can do many things and much things. Why? Because you're inside of me. And sometimes the hardest part is abiding in God, just trusting him at his word. But we want to give you salvation this morning through Jesus Christ. And when we baptize you in that watery grave of baptism, where God does a spiritual operation, he cleans you up, he cuts away that sin. And I'm so glad I ain't got to walk around with yesterday's sin on me. Because it's a brand new day. Amen. And even right now, those of you who are believers, maybe you got some sin right now. You ain't got to go through the rest of the day with it. It's afternoon time. Shake it off. Uh-huh. Amen. Some stuff you just got to learn to just get over and get rid of and leave it alone, because if you don't, it'll make you change. Yeah. Amen. You come in here happy and then you get to thinking about stuff, or you came here maybe and you were thinking about stuff that was negative and pulling you down. Let that stuff go. We're in the house of God now. You got an I am God. When it came time and Pharaoh didn't listen after he said, let his people go, look at the I am God. Okay, I am the blood that's going to turn the water to blood. Oh, y'all go on back to sleep. I don't know what comparison the blood and the water has. I'm just saying, but something. Okay, they ain't going to listen, no, Rob. Go on, throw down your staff. Isn't it interesting? He didn't have to ask God to throw down his staff. Why? He knew he had I am God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you listening to me? You can leave out of here today confident of who you are in the Lord. Maybe you're here and again, you are a believer falling short of the glory of God. Repent, get on the right track, and get busy. And may we today leave out of here and know that mercy and grace rewrote our life. Amen. If you need to respond to the call, do so as together we stand.